So when I first started refining my thoughts for this sermon, I thought I'd start by talking about sports. Our reading from Colossians begins with Paul saying, "I want you to know how much I struggle for you." And as it turns out, that could be the same lead-in to a sports analogy. One of my friends commented after the brutal playoff game that ended the Braves' quest for the pennant. He said, "I've been an Atlanta sports fan for just 9 years, and already my soul is crushed. I can't imagine you all who have endured a lifetime of this." Now, Atlanta United soccer fans might not struggle so much, but there were some tense moments on Thursday night, and it's not over yet. But whatever your team, no matter what kind of season they're having, we know what it's like to dress ourselves in our team's colors, to know the cheers and the rituals of the game, to soar to the heights right along with our team in victory, and to feel the blow as they're knocked out of the playoffs. And it's fun to be a part of a team like that. It's spontaneous, it's emotional, it's not calculated or manufactured, it's authentic and exuberant. It may come from a long history of a meteoric rise to the championship in their second season. For fans, the enthusiasm becomes a habit. Little kids are in the stands, and at their young age, they already know all the official cheers and the stadium rituals. This is nothing short of communal gratitude. A community of people, united by a common purpose, offering thanksgiving and an acknowledgement of their shared gratefulness for the performance of their team. I think that happens at the Stone Mountain Highland Games too. You don your team colors, your tartan. You rejoice when you greet a fellow from your clan. You puff up with pride as athletes toss cabers and sheaves, and you revel in all the traditions and rituals. Even if you don't have a drop of Scott in you, you can't help but get a little drawn into all of it. And it happens here too with the kirking of the tartans. Grateful, our theme for October and November, is not only a matter of individual practice or experience. Being grateful is something we do together, because gratitude is also a group experience. So think of the times when you have been part of a group. In those times, did you find yourself joining in with others and offering expressions of thanksgiving and gratitude? Could be a sporting event, maybe running a marathon. Could happen at a concert or a play or a presentation. A parade or a festival can happen at a graduation or a retirement ceremony. We've all had those times when we are part of a large group and we join with others in spontaneous expression of gratitude. It's not a new phenomenon unique to our modern culture. We can see across the history of God's people that there have always been moments when we join our hearts and voices in spontaneous expressions of gratitude to God. Many of the Psalms, like the 136th, which Margaret led us in, are God's people responding to God's goodness with thankfulness and joy. The psalm begins, "Give thanks to the Lord because God is good." And it continues to recount all that God has done for the people, all the ways God has been faithful, even when the people have not been, and all the gifts from God for which they give thanks. Now, we skipped 13 verses there in the middle, but it's all the same. The psalm repeats, same in the good way. There's a lot to give thanks for. The psalm just repeats, give thanks, and it's an invitation to all who read it or hear it or sing it. It's an invitation to remember and be grateful, because God is the one who provides food for all living things. God's faithful love lasts forever. This psalm reminds us that God's loving and generous activity ultimately extend to the whole creation. We sometimes forget that the Psalms are ancient Israel's hymn book, which means that though we no longer have the music to which the words were set, we still have the lyrics of these ancient expressions of gratitude. And in today's psalm, the people are celebrating God's mercy, singing God's faithful love lasts forever. As each historic event is recalled, you can imagine them getting more energized and more excited as they responded. For the mercy of the Lord endures forever. Now, the audience in our second reading, the Colossian church, they were in a different situation. The author knows that the church is having a rough time. People were raising questions about their purpose and their call to be Christ's church. The struggle was real. So the author writes them a letter, and he tells them that his purpose is to encourage their hearts and to unite them in love. He writes to remind them that they should be rooted in Christ and built up in Christ. He writes to remind them that gratitude should overflow out of them, just like they were taught, just like we heard in that psalm. The letter, though, is not addressed to a single member of First Church of Colossae. The letter is written to the whole church, a community, a gathering of God's people. And the instruction to the community of the church is clear: stay rooted and grounded in the faith that has been handed on to you, and abound, overflow with thanksgiving and gratitude. These instructions remind the church that their foundation, and in fact the foundation of the universe, is not something, but someone. So this is meant as an encouragement for the community. The community that is founded on someone is made up of someones, of humans. And we humans are created to be meaning makers. As we each grow in our individual identities, we begin to understand that who we are is shaped by the communities to which we belong, by the people with whom we surround ourselves. And that makes sense because, try as we might, we know that no one can survive as an individual. And despite what any news story tells you about the latest self-made millionaire, there's no such thing as a self-made man or woman. We simply do not get where we find ourselves. We simply do not become who we are by ourselves. Eventually, we must come to understand that our individual identity is part of a larger shared identity. And that's part of what the struggle was with the Colossian church, the shaping of a shared identity. They struggled because they were a new church community, and everyone was still trying to figure out what it meant to be church. They struggled because they had to distinguish themselves from their pre-church identity and from their current culture. And as it turns out, proximity and a common language were not enough to make those people into a church or into a community. And so the author writes them a letter, and he draws on the message of memory, and he reminds them who they are and whose they are. He also reminds the Colossian church they are called and created to be grateful people. We are called and created to be grateful people, abounding in thanksgiving, overflowing with gratitude. And together we are given opportunities to express our gratitude with our fellow believers. This gratitude is part of our individual lives and an indispensable part of our life together. Diana Butler Bass writes, "If gratitude is mutual reliance upon instead of payback for shared gifts," which she argues it is, "then we awaken to a profound awareness of our interdependence. Rather than resenting our interdependence, we should be celebrating it. We should be giving thanks for it. We are better together. God made us that way. And what a gift that is. The fact that we need each other is not something to deny, try as we might. It is something we should recognize and for which we should be grateful." Now, we've talked in the past weeks about how gratitude is both an emotion and an action. It's something we both feel and do. But we also know that gratitude can't be forced or manufactured. Sometimes it does overflow, so much so that it surprises us. And sometimes we just can't find it. It eludes us, and we find ourselves dried up instead of overflowing. So here's the blessing about being grateful together. When I am feeling less than grateful, or when that feeling of gratitude is being hindered for some reason, your gratitude can carry me through. When the news is bleak, or the days are filled with difficulties, or when a heart is broken, the rest of us can come alongside and help carry through the one who is having trouble feeling gratitude. Not in a buck up, buttercup, or an at least you still have, or a you should be grateful because it could be worse kind of a way. But in a deep, abiding way that still takes seriously the struggles. Taking seriously the struggles they were going through, the invitation from Paul to the Colossians is to remember where they came from, the one in whom they are rooted and upon whom their community is built. This shared memory helps us to grow together as a body. It strengthens and renews us by the power that comes from God. So when any group of people, especially a church, experiences a powerful moment of gratitude, things are changed. And gratitude is not always measured in dollars and cents. Gratitude is measured in joy, in gladness, in celebration, in laughter, and in tears. When we come together and join together in celebrating those moments when it is crystal clear that we have encountered the unexpected blessings that come from God, we are changed, and we can change the world. So let us be grateful together. When we are feeling less than grateful, we can help each other through those times. And when we are feeling a little less than inspired to gratitude, we can help inspire each other to give thanks and to celebrate all that God has done, is doing, and promises to do. When we live lives of gratitude, others see the difference and they begin to live in gratitude too. This is part of what it means to overflow with thanksgiving. Living in gratitude, living in thankfulness, living in the acknowledgement that God has blessed us in more ways than we can count, even when the times are hard. This is what abounding in thanksgiving is about. And it's a group effort. We get to do it together. It's all of us celebrating God's faithfulness and bounteousness. It's all of us being overwhelmed by the joy and wonder of gratitude and joining together in giving thanks for now and evermore. Amen.